bandwidth. Oh, I hate.
Okay, I was gonna say bandwidth.
I hate bandwidth, man. I hate it. It's like, what's wrong with time?
I'm also not a radio wave.
Right. It's like, what bandwidth do you have? Just squiggling. Like,
right now, I'm actually pretty like straight.
My frequency is high, but what is it? Longitude? What's the other shit?
That's the point.
My amplitude is up, but my frequency is happening. I'm a gamma wave. It's like, what the fuck is bandwidth? What happened to time?
Send the link.
Welcome to Send a Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-anti-fascist, Deej Dollars.
Oh, man, I think you used that one before.
Really?
Yeah.
Specifically, that terminology?
Yeah, anti-fascist, maybe. I thought you were going to go with, maybe, more importantly, in some other ways, fellow hand washer.
Oh, that's poignant for what's going on today.
Yes, wash your damn hands, please, you filthy animals.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
A little more.
Happy birthday, coronavirus. Delicious. 20 seconds, y'all.
Yeah, man.
Two times. Sing it twice. Get ready.
Wash your hands.
On the eve of, I guess, that terrible, terrible disease that we're all worried about, there's a lot going on in the world, man. It's a busy, hectic time. And the reason why I try to bring up your anti-fascist leanings.
Mine, yes.
Yeah, well, your co-anti-fascist leanings is because I wanted to make an announcement on pod, all right? This is very important because today we're recording as the numbers roll in for Super Tuesday. Mm. This podcast we've been following politics for a long time. We try to jump in and out, and there's a lot of good articles this week that have been talking about the tenor of the conversation around this Democratic primary. We've got a number of pieces that I really like for Vox, Why Elizabeth Warren is Losing, Even If All Your Friends Love Her by Matty Glacius. Also, 538 did a piece that, you know, gave us some science as to why people may be, quote unquote, supporting the establishment with old Uncle Joe. Why Black Voters Prefer Establishment Candidates Over Liberal Alternatives, Perry Bacon Jr. Oh, one more for the road. It's coming. New York Times, Elizabeth Warren has won the black activists. She's losing the black vote.
Ooh.
Now, I was big Warren stan. Warren G.
Yeah, I think that's caused this certain curation of articles that you pulled up.
Yes.
Because you're feeling the sting of a floundering Warren campaign, it appears.
Yes, I like the way you put that, a floundering campaign in the sting. And for me, unlike the people that a lot of these articles seem to be referencing, I'm cool. I'm chilling, baby. It's all good. A long time ago on this podcast, we played a great game of Fuck, Marry, Kill, if you remember. And we narrowed down at one point the 72 prospective candidates.
Yeah, we spent like 2.5 hours trying to do that.
To a threesome of Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders.
That's what we had narrowed down to with Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Yes. Before. And do you remember what our selection was at that point?
I think ours were a little different at the time. No,
they were exactly the same.
We were fucking the same person.
We were Eskimo brothers.
We were fucking Bernie, marrying Warren, killing Bernie. I mean, no. Biden, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we were in the same
reasonable
page.
Yeah.
So now as we come to this Tuesday, where this selection is happening more or less, we're going to see where these delegates break out. There's been a lot of shakeup the past weekend. Pete Booty, out. Young Amy, out. And this coalescing around Biden after he won South Carolina, a state which is upwards of 50% black.
Of the Democratic Party's primary voters, yes.
Thank you for that clarification. It's caused a lot of internal strife between the voters about who is electable. Is Biden supported? Is Biden rising now? And then the coverage around that, and what does that mean? And then Warren voters, are they left out? Don't tell black people what to vote about. Bernie bros, they talk bad about us. And for me, as a Warren G supporter, right?
Yeah.
Someone who went in canvas for Elizabeth Warren, got yelled at by many angry bitter white woman in Prospect Park as I tried to talk to them about Elizabeth
Warren. Damn, I didn't even know you were this invested.
I went one time.
Who are they supporting?
They were either already supporting Elizabeth, and they don't talk to me. I'm trying to buy avocados. Or they're supporting Bernie. Or they were like, I don't talk about that. And they, you know, brushed off as white people are wont to. That's my big pet peeve, too. White people don't talk about politics. Talk about it.
Let me go ahead and say what I was, yes. Before we get ahead of ourselves. Please. Damn, was Tom Steyer that irrelevant that you even forgot to reference him?
That's young Tom, back that ass up, juvenile stand. That was the beginning of this weekend. I forgot about that. But yes, that happened as well. Ever since he did that, you know, people have been falling like dominoes.
Yeah. He poured in, what, tens of millions of dollars?
I think 20.
And going hard specifically in South Carolina and still...
Don't get the halo sword from Bernie. I mean, from Biden. You know,
the elite sword.
just.
Yeah, him. And unbeknownst to our previous FMK session, Bloomberg still lurks in the background.
He's
like
looming.
Like a young Palpatine-like figure. All-powerful financially.
Yeah, please.
Apparently physically enfeebled, but maybe not. Who knows?
I signed this NDA. It's a legal document. Don't worry about it. It's force lightning. Yeah, he's a character in this too. But the conversation that I was alluding to in all these articles is that there is a strife among the quote-unquote left and the quote-unquote right, internal strife.
Is that really? There's a lot of hand-wringing. That's what
it's a lot of hand-wringing, false hand-wringing that has really upset me. Because as we talked about a long time, one of your favorite euphemisms, we're going to talk about speak. Mm. One of the favorite send the link speak terms that you like to use is bad faith.
Bad faith.
What things are in bad faith, right? We come back to it a lot. And in this whole conversation, and it pains me because it's surrounding us coloreds. The conversation about electability, Joe Biden in the South versus Bernie versus Warren is all very much in bad faith. And that is why, long preamble aside.
he put his hands on his hips. That's
if hands akimbo, right? If my endorsement, if young Liz comes out of her, if she gets walloped, the rest of tonight, and we're getting the returns in as we speak. Vermont just went to Bernie. If she gets walloped tonight, and she comes out and she endorses Joe Biden in the next few days, I'm joining Antifa, dog. So you're gonna catch me with the black hoodie on, with the spray paint, snuffing people in the streets.
It's Antifa. I'm leaving.
I can't participate in this world. I'm going pure on anarchy. It's over. It's over. Catch me with the black hoodie on and the black and then the full mask.
Is Antifa like the white people version of like black Israelites and shit? Just...
They need a good, more stringent philosophy though. I want Antifa to really lean into some wild, I don't know. Who was there? Is it some Noam Chomsky shit? Did it be reading out in the street? I need that. I need that energy more. Right,
just yelling at people and shit. Just be on the back of all the news trucks.
And we can remain anonymous. We just have to, you know, do some, non-centralized movements. A lot of black vans hopping in and out.
Fucking people up even.
Just disappearing. Running through the subway system. I'm down. Whites, if you want me, I will join. I will join.
I don't know. What is the... What is causing the rhetorical shift or your alignment?
My personal alignment,
and to from going from supporting Big Lizzie to joining Antifa.
Well, first and foremost, I'm a nihilist, so my hope for an educated, detailed approach to a progressive shift led by someone with great ideas and a proven track record of implementation. Mm-hmm. Is awesome. However, I understand that there is a candidate with similar values.
Yeah.
Big Burn Dog.
Yeah. Feel the burn.
Who has a stronger movement around him of people.
And a stronger base.
A stronger base.
Yeah.
That is
a bigger base.
With more breadth, that has a less upper class perspective from what I've seen. And on the net, which I know it's not the world's, the world's not the net. The net. World is not Twitter.
Yeah, shout out to you and using the term net, the net.
I know it's like bro, 1990s, some Matrix green screen shit. We're the net. On the net and the Twitters, right? You have a faux confrontation between these two camps, mm-hmm. Warren and Bernie, and a burgeoning support for Biden, which seems like a Russian plan. It's based around this, like y'all gotta respect black voters because they old and they like Biden, so that makes it viable. And it's like, that's like, I get it, y'all. We don't want to be slighted, right? But we wrong. That's wrong. They're like, Michael Morris of South Carolina is not representative of the United States. It's not. Is that not true?
I feel the emotion here.
So man. Everything is in such bad faith, and now that it's trickling down into like stupid shit like Twitter and people who say that they're progressive, acting like, oh, well, it's all about Liz. It's like, if it's really all about Liz and getting what Liz wants, right? If Liz ends up moving to Biden to coalesce around that shit, this is all a lie and Trump's gonna win. And if she moves to Bernie, I still have faith. So that's why my black hoodie is half on and my mouth is still out. That's why I'm talking all this shit. You're
looking like Mr. Robot.
But yeah. I've seen the stills of that. I haven't watched, but that's where I'm at, dog. It's tough.
Damn, it's dark on the pod.
It's dark on the pod. Shut the lights.
It hasn't been dark in a while.
No, it's not.
You've pulled me down into the darkness with you and and Bane.
Do you feel me? Do you feel me?
I think what happens is, and similar to even that Matt Iglesias piece that you mentioned that will include, I think the highly educated among us tends to put a more rational, less identitarian lens on our leanings and interpretations of politics. But what you, as time progresses, and if you really understand, or at least understand like how these shits tend to develop, one of the things it's furthest from is being a rational exhibition of people trying to actually solve problems amongst the populace.
Right.
So it can be discouraging when you see what appears to be the most rational, most reasonable, most moral, most just outcome in front of you, and people intently move away from that. But that tends to be more often especially
when they have presented themselves in the opposite manner of their own wishes and desires. Like any Machiavellian bullshit that you would tell me that Trump would do, or you know Mitch McConnell would do, I'm like, damn, them niggas are lit. They really planning that shit. But on this side, it seems both in bad faith and really foolhardy. I'm like, wow, y'all dumb like that?
I think it's just more of a. It's not as the ideology and identity is not as clear as I've mentioned before on this pod. The Democratic Party is honestly a Big Ten party. It's represented mm-hmm. amongst a lot of disparate ideologies and identity groups. You got all the way from the gays to the socialists,
right?
You know, so that covers a large spectrum of people, and including older black people as well, obviously. So, I think the idea of coming up with some type of perfect candidate is always more strained and rancorous amongst the Democratic presidential campaign, because you're not going to find someone that checks off all of those boxes,
right?
For a Democratic candidate, you know, I think we will be talking about a different story if, let's say, you had this exact same person, Elizabeth Warren, where what's the name that begins with an E? There's no
Elliot Warfield.
Elliot Warren. There you go. Okay. If she were a he and he were Elliot Warren, then that would still apply to that would negate some of the latent, you know, misogyny that still exists. Mm-hmm. Some of the questions that are being posed about Can a woman defeat Donald Trump in this year and in this climate, and so on and so forth? And that is in the back of a lot of people's minds and their just their social understandings and then their feelings. And the misogyny is definitely far from just being relegated to, let's say, conservatives or the Republican Party.
It's palpable.
It's palpable. And there's also that large contingent of pundits, hopefully not like us. Obviously, we know exactly what the fuck we're talking about all the time.
We actually do. Don't let DJ
saying that laconically, but where people are doing like this triple bank shot punditry from their votes, not voting for actually the person that they want to win, but the person that they think can be the best at beating Donald Trump. You know, and that is based off of. What's the word? Not political consensus.
Conventions.
I'm drawing a blank.
Fine. Yeah. But essentially,
the consensus or what's been the political norm up to this point.
Yes.
And it usually takes some ridiculous outcome in order to completely flip what our previous conceptions of what was possible to happen. But you have to really push up against that. So as of right now, there are a lot of more middle of the ground, middle of the road progressives or Democrats that just can't even see a Bernie Sanders winning the national election, winning the Electoral College, just because they can't even picture it.
Right.
You know, it's not even part of their right. ideology.
They tell you that.
And they tell you that.
You shoot a jumper, you know that, right? Think about it going in. You got to visualize, baby. Right. Put that gooseneck up.
You know, so... I think that's the most key thing. And okay, one last thing is we all in our 24/7 media environment get so caught up with the daily minutia of these stories.
Right.
And places like the New York Times or Vox, they narrativize these campaigns when it comes down to brass tacks. A lot of the expected outcomes do happen.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden was expected to win South Carolina because he has large name recognition and trust amongst the large contingent of the black vote.
That's there. It.
And was it.
All this other shit is just...
It's so, in a lot of ways, the fundamentals usually add up to being the fundamentals. And the stories are generally not that fucking deep. People like Liz Warren, but maybe not as much as they like or trust or can acknowledge Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden. And oftentimes, it's as simple as that. They do postmortems of niggas' campaigns of people that dropped out as if some of them, in real terms, ever had a chance.
Right.
Yeah, in some reality, maybe Pete Buttigieg or Klobuchar had a chance, but realistically, probably not.
Neither did Tom Steyer.
Chance in hell.
When was our Fuck, Marry, Kill game? That shit was like over a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, damn near. Yeah, definitely.
And it's like, and we called it.
And we're two people sitting here, and you got professional pundits that were saying the same fucking shit that are getting paid, you know.
Going in circles about this shit, giving lip service to friggin' Pete. What does Pete have?
Right. It's like, you know,
some fucking some crazy imaginary bank candy shot. Land shit.
You know, if everybody gets a...
There's laser beams in the foyer. If he jumps through them and then goes into the chute and it's like...
If everybody gets killed in a fucking avalanche and on an Aspen trip, then yeah, maybe he'll win. You know, just some ridiculous set of outcomes that are like not likely to happen. I think when you do a postmortem where you look at how Trump won, it's, for one, in a very similar, in terms of the ideology and what wings they were going to, it's similar to a Bernie type of way, right? He was going extremely right wing, and that activated the base of the party. And the base of the party is who goes to vote in primaries. That's why Bernie Sanders on the left wing side is still doing well and is nonetheless relatively within front runner status. So... the disillusion, still summarizing the Iglesias piece, makes a lot of sense because to us, we're like, this shit makes so much sense. We know, you know, quote unquote, more than Joe Sixpack, whoever the fuck he was. And you would think big structural change and still working within the capitalist system, but making it more democratic, or, you know, going, taking along big power structures. Yeah, that's what we want. But to them, it's not that fucking deep. So
they're just like, you know, I like Joe Biden.
Yeah, I just fuck with Joe. You know, I like him looking at ice cream with the aviators on. Like,
I like dementia. She's lit.
Yeah, so I'm not getting to that. Hopefully, we can't have two niggas arguing with dementia.
And that's why October. All of those feelings, and that's why I am disheartened, man. That's why I'm running off to join Antifa, because I have come to realize that, like, depending on how this goes these next few hours, like, you know, just no hope, man. I thought it was hope.
I mean, you also have a lot. You also put a lot into your Big Lizzie.
It's not about Big Lizzie, dog.
We still got Burn Dog out here.
That's what I'm saying. I need, you know, in my path, my logic tree. If she endorses him, it basically means that all this shit was just a farce. And it's like, oh, damn, she's not going to come out here for Bernie. Like, this is the whole point, right? So with it being a farce, that means life is meaningless. And then we all have to wear black. And, you know. No. I mean, that's just, and it just, it all, in terms of, I didn't get my way, right? Or many people didn't, that's fine. Mm. But for the opposition internally, we all want an alternative to Trump, right? Like, that's where this is all coalescing around. So I can understand that. Of course, I'd vote for Biden. But the idea that Uncle Joe, who I love aviators, I love a good ice cream lick, I love when he got the medal and cried and shit.
You don't fuck with malarkey.
Fuck malarkey. Get out of here, malarkey.
No malarkey.
None of it. We don't want that shit up in here. I'm all for it. He can't talk no more. He's confused. He just given up on shit. He starts sentences. He don't know what's going on. And I sent you this, DJ. You don't want to participate in it. Trump is fire. All right. This nigga is the greatest comedian of our time. And I can't disacknowledge it. He won off the pure strength of memes. Last time, right? So he's gonna come in. Joe's gonna just get flustered and be like, you know, America say things that are incoherent, and Trump is gonna light him up. He's gonna flame him up. Did you watch the Bloomberg thing? Did you watch it?
No, I didn't, son.
Can I paint the picture?
I just think they might fight. Like,
just snuff him in. I'm with it. I know. This is for corn pop. Let's give him an uppercut.
We might be gonna roll his sleeves up, choke, be talking shit in the background.
Knock Trump ass out and sing American Pie. Sing American Pie afterward. Tyson Fury.
That shit.
Oh, man. Hilarious. We need that. But come on, y'all. If Biden ends up being the nominee, we it's over. America's over. Real shit.
It's not. Stop.
We'll get 4 more years of Trump.
No, I don't think so.
Like,
I don't think so.
Another conservative justice. And people will be like, we didn't see this happening. We thought Biden was going to be. And I'm just like, yo, I am moving. I'm either going to start knocking over light posts or I'm out. You can catch me in the Caribbean. You can catch me in Portugal. You can catch me in Peter Thiel's bunker in New Zealand. I'm done.
You're going to be his butler or something?
I hope not.
You might wind up like that anyway, the way he should be looking. But as I was... Actually, I found like the best encapsulation of what I was just describing about the media having to make things a narrative, and how the Democratic Party is always in search of something that's not even really there, you know, especially the Democratic Party of today, because there's a large actual generational break between the younger, more activist, more actually like educated, informed party, and the more stodgy, conservative, timid part, and actually more powerful part of the Democratic Party.
That part of the
in the establishment. But yeah, just quickly, I was just scrolling through the Times. This is a new headline that they have. This is the headline. Doubts for some Democrats. Quote, I don't think we have a perfect candidate. There's never a fucking perfect candidate. There never is one. So just choose who you like. Even if you like Joe Biden, choose Joe Biden. If you like Bernie, choose Bernie. If you like Liz, choose Liz. One of these motherfuckers are gonna win, and that's it. They're all. I mean, there are differences, but they're not that fucking different, especially compared to Donald Trump. So.
Can I put one caveat on that? Because DJ is making a good point about using your voice in voting. Don't do this. I'm afraid that so-and-so won't win, so I will do this. I will vote this way. Mm-hmm. Because you may feel that is your right. You may feel that is the best path forward, but I would warn all of you, and I know you're all listening, is that do you think has anybody won any fucking thing playing like that?
Got to be bold, man.
Prevent defense ain't shit.
Got to be bold.
It's not.
Trump played bold, won big.
That's it.
So, and all of these candidates still can play relatively bold, but they have to run a bold campaign and present themselves to be bold. But it's tough. It's tough. I think we don't have to harp on it. I don't have to talk in circles. But to be honest, the conventional wisdom is rearing its head. Joe Biden was always a front runner.
It's popping up.
He was always a front runner. He was always the presumptive nominee, and was always expected to have a strong competition with Liz Warren and Bernie Sanders. This is exactly what is happening. So
it was inevitable.
It's good to win media cycles because it's good for people like us. But honestly, people like us are not like the majority of the country. So Bernie has been able to control and dominate a lot of media cycles after winning a lot of relatively whiter, more liberal states. And now as we're approaching more of a diverse electorate, a blacker electorate amongst the other primaries, that is more akin to supporting Joe Biden. So because of his association with Barack Obama, I don't know if there's literally anything else. Because
it's like, right. And this is my last sort of quirk about this, that, you know, nihilism, is that, damn, the couching of what diversity is, I think is a discussion that is not for now, but I would hope black people stop acting like we own diversity. I'm putting it out there, it bothers me. It bothers me when we do this. We go, oh, a diverse state, and it's like, no, it's not diverse. It's pretty white and black. A lot of these southern states, and what's happening is that that conversation is being molded around that while these states are rolling in as we're watching, and the mix of people, including black people in Texas and California and New York and these places, is going to be in Illinois and all that, Ohio, is going to be a lot more representative than what we get in the South. So y'all stop it with that. Shakes fist.
Hey, never discount how conservative the average person is. That's not to say that they don't support some of the more left or right reaching things that are part of the political discourse, but realistically, most motherfuckers just don't want the boat to get rocked too much oftentimes.
Not taking my guns.
Between that or not taking, I don't changing know what the hell healthcare. You're going to do with my health care or you're not going to raise or lower my taxes too much. Like, let's just keep shit as it is. We're doing okay. And that's part of Joe Biden's message. Everybody honestly knows, even his supporters, I'm sure, the more reasonable ones that are not going down the QAnon rabbit hole, know Donald Trump is, if anything, incompetent and corrupt. So if there's a viable way out of that, from my thoughts, I think they would choose an alternative to that. That was not just not. There's a large contingent of the electorate that would just be looking for something just not super radical, but just not Donald Trump. Right. And that and Joe Biden can clean up a lot of that across the country, across a lot of different demographics. But there's also a large demographic of people that do want radical change. And there's a weird convergence between Trump voters and Bernie voters. So there's a strong argument for both. As we're saying, if you want to have your voice in this effort, vote in one of these primaries.
You talked about one point that Trump is incompetent, and if I can continue in my digging my nihilist bag,
yeah, you hear, man,
it's delicious,
palpable,
it's palpable. Coronavirus, man. Whoa, man. Fun change. we got an interesting piece from Alexis Madrigal at The Atlantic. The gig economy has never been tested by a pandemic, that posits an interesting sort of thought experiment on how this is going to affect us all. Because
in more ways than we can imagine.
It's getting squirrely, man. We talked off pod about just sort of work advisories, mm-hmm. like what people have been saying. Don't come into work, or if you get sick, stay home.
Stay the fuck home.
Don't come in here. And it's been a little tenuous, especially since the press conference, which had me like, oh, I don't know.
Which one?
the Trump first person that died coronavirus.
Yeah, he said it was all good. Like, we good money.
Yeah, everything. He said we good money. He brought Mike Pence up to talk. He was confused. Man. And then he brought Alex Azar up. And then the people were like, I'm confused. Who's in charge, Alex Azar or Mike Pence? And then Trump was like, and he just walked away and left like mid.
Like, doesn't really. He just wants to be a pundit. We know.
He's like, they'll talk about this shit.
Yeah, he wants to comment on politics, not to actually participate in policy or leadership or what have you.
So I mean, DJ, you're a cinephile. I did.
Yeah, a bit.
What pandemic film does this make you feel most similar to? Is it a 28 Days Later? Is it I Am Legend? How you feeling? You feeling worried? Are vampiric, light-skinned, albino, bald people going to be ravaging the streets? Is it like 1919? I think, you know, I'm rambling a bit. I'm getting my Biden back. But Twilight is also tangentially a pandemic film.
Oh, it was about the vampires?
Is that? Well, no. The main guy, Robert Pattinson, mm-hmm. being a vampire, he was going to die mm-hmm. in the flu pandemic. In 1919, and then he got bit and lived. Ah, my young adult woman bag, young adult.
YA bag?
YA young girl bag. But I don't know. How do you make of this? What do you feel about your own misgivings? Because we'll get into the Uber thing, but
I can't even really think of, like, it would have to be a film where people vanish or something. Not quite The Leftovers, HBO show, but
wasn't there one with that Tom Cruise when the aliens came down? They were zapping everybody, or is that the Mark Wahlberg and people just started falling down? Remember that?
What was that, The Mist?
The Happening. And people just like falling down, jumping out of windows, or
yeah, they're killing themselves. Yeah, that's what they were doing. Right.
Also, Bird Box, right? Isn't that similar? Like it was like a disease. Like they opened their eyes.
Yeah, thankfully this doesn't bring about manic reactions amongst the infected. So that's why I don't want to go that far. This just appears to be. Just a pretty bad flu that is relatively undetectable, and we don't have a vaccine for it yet. That's why it's posed to be such a large disruption for the world, really, an actual pandemic of likes we haven't seen since, I guess, 1919, right?
I mean, it's happened a few times recently, but the numbers that are jumping out for coronavirus are way more than what we saw for bird flu, SARS, swine flu as well. And the piece alludes to a particular Americanism of how this is going to affect us, because what does it look like in China since then? Like
on lockdown?
Insane. So, have you watched the videos and everything?
Yeah, I watched a very fucking spooky video from some Australian news channel. I'm not sure if that's the one that was most popular, but they had cameras all throughout Wuhan, and it looks like a ghost town. And to be honest, it sucks to say they had videos of people like dead on the street and stuff like that that they hadn't bothered to pick up yet. The hospitals were stuffed and the medical workers were freaking out and shit was crazy. You know, I really hope that nowhere else in the world, obviously here most principally, doesn't get to that point. But
because we talk about China a lot, and you know the way their authoritarianism has affected us, primarily in media. We talk about that a lot, and their general grifting on IP and mm-hmm. a lot of that stuff. But now this sort of authoritarianism that we've seen with Hong Kong, with the NBA this year, it's getting in our health now because they decided Chernobyl the shit.
They grifted on fucking up. I thought they ran a tight ship over there in China.
They bring out those bamboo reeds, beat your ass, and keep it moving. But apparently, and I'm forgetting gentleman's name, the doctor who discovered it and has since passed. But when he informed them, mm-hmm. instead of them being like, "Oh, let's mobilize, let's make this happen," mm-hmm. they instead took the authoritarian cover-up route mm-hmm. told him not to tell people to the authorities, brought him in to admonish him, to warn him to be afraid to not talk about this. And then not only did he eventually die, but we had this insane outbreak from maybe what a week or so of preemptive action could have maybe stopped or slowed.
Definitely or slowed. I mean, it's fucking crazy. They really are the core culprit of most likely a world historic event that we're going to have to struggle through over the next year or two or so. You would think, okay, China's mad authoritarian, but they chose, okay, you know what it is? It probably wasn't a political decision to do that. It was right. more an economic decision to do that. They didn't want to spook markets. They did not want to spook.
Which have been spooked.
Yes, absolutely. They've been scared shitless. They're in correction territory now, or in actual correction for stocks and treasuries. So, they didn't want to scare their supply chains because everyone knows a lot of the world's manufacturing happens in China now. So maybe they were trying to brunt that impact, but wound up making it significantly worse. Maybe the expectation was that the virus wasn't as contagious as it actually poses. But now you have the rest of the world, which is much more free-flowing and open economies, such as here in the U.S., where, as the piece says, you have these gig economy jobs that require a lot of movement, a lot of hand-to-hand action, and these people are, I mean, we'll see where the contagion lies, but they also are in a relatively precarious position of being contractors, quote-unquote contractors, for these gig economy jobs, whether it's your Postmates or Uber Eats or Uber or whatever the fuck your latest doggy delivery service is, and don't quite have the adequate pay time off or health care or things that would help prevent the spread of this virus to continue on.
It's funny, like, so Alexis got responses from a few of these companies. Obviously, Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, nothing. But Postmates and Instacart stepped in, and they gave a good, vague statement. Postmates, community health and safety is paramount at Postmates. And we have a shared precautionary Centers for Disease and Control Prevention guidance with those carrying out deliveries so that they are aware. We will continue to encourage employees, merchants, consumers, and everyone to follow preventative measures such as washing your hands.
Of course.
And staying in if you are sick. Great. Instacart, we're adhering to recommendations from public health officials to ensure we're operating safely with minimal disruption to our service while also taking appropriate precautionary measures to keep teams, shoppers, and customers safe. Instacart.
What's the difference between shoppers and customers?
Well, shoppers are the people that do the shopping for you.
Oh, okay.
This Instacart. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, cool.
So, yeah. So, some good corporate speak, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I guess that makes people feel assuaged to a certain extent. But when I think about all the odds and ends of the economy, I mean, especially with the way Trump had the press conference, I'm like, this shit is not going to be implemented in any way that's relatively uniform.
We no doubt did not get off to a good footing in terms of trying to address the virus and to contain it as it inevitably reaches our shores and already has, obviously. So that requires real leadership, real clarity, and we're not going to get that from the president. And there are other. There's a whole, obviously, a whole cottage industry of news analysis and you know, the latest on the coronavirus as it stands. And I know I definitely saw one or skimmed one where it was just like, yeah, what do we do? Because everybody knows Donald Trump is incompetent and we don't believe him. Like, what do we do? So we're in a weird dystopic environment where we can't really trust at least the top person in our federal government. So it becomes a much more of a state and local thing where they just have to leverage the resources that maybe that the CDC and the federal government, the NIH, and what have you, or can help out with. But a lot of different parts of our society will be tested going forward. And just
Davis, of our, I'm just waiting to say that. parts of our society will be tested going, sound like some Hunger Games shit.
Nah, I mean, yeah, may the odds be ever in your fucking favor in more ways than not. And it also shows just the gap, like the socioeconomic gap that we have, because you have like these, even I'm in a position to say, okay, I have a knowledge economy type of job.
Right.
To where, if needed, whether I'm sick or not, I can work from home.
Take off.
And my company has already started to establish that policy and making it completely clear with all their employees that if you need to or want to, regardless of anything, you can work from home. No questions asked.
You deliver in Postmates.
That's not happening. If you are
2 seconds late, you lose your rating.
If you're in any type of blue collar or working class service sector type of job, that type of ability is just completely out of hand. So there will still be major parts of American society that will be open in, let's say, these outbreak areas, because people there, they have to work. And our national insurance system is also not enabling us to move without any precautions, or, you know, like they have to work in order to make money and also just be able to pay for health care.
Yeah, you have to have health insurance.
So that's also just a weird like conundrum that people find themselves in as well. Because there was a guy, there was another story, I think in the Miami Herald or something like that, a guy who he thought he had the coronavirus because he has much of the same symptoms as the flu. He went and got tested and they said, oh yeah, you got the flu, but that'll be $3,000.
He's like, damn, I should have thugged it out.
Right.
If I would have been like, yo, I got coronavirus, they would have quarantined me and they would have took care of it.
Well, no, I think they tested him for all those things, and he wound up not having it, but he had the flu, so they charged him. So
crazy.
If you say that to everybody else, yeah, you're going to have people under this extremely capitalistic boot that we have right now having to just fucking like thug it out.
Exactly, man.
So it leads to a large potential for even more spreading of the virus, because people legit have to work. There's no federally mandated pay time off. There's no, you know, Medicare for all.
It's all coming to a head this year, right? I thought 2019 was wild. 2020 is really putting it all in place.
So I think I'm just a person that reads. I don't really know shit about this stuff, but the signs don't look good, bro. They really don't. I mean,
you telling me
the reported cases are only the reported cases. That means that.
Don't say shit like that.
Not for real. I mean, that means like literally like by a factor of like, what is, what did I say, like 10 or 15 per person?
They're more than what's reported.
That have it, even here in the U.S. So
or New York City, first case, one from Iran.
There's two more cases that were found up in Westchester today.
So you're telling me that Sprite with the ginger is not gonna help me out?
Oh, man, I don't know, man. I don't know if any black people have come down with it yet. You know, we holding on to our ginger ale. We got the new Sprite ginger going crazy.
Yeah, you
know, that's all
right.
We need.
Little Vicks.
You know. Just running around with Vicks on their chest and shit. They're healthy. You know, a little sauna. I don't know. I don't know how it affects black folks. Apparently, it doesn't have much effects on kids. So.
Well, you know, puts Koofy on, opens third eye.
And then it glows like the new meme shit, like the futuristic.
And it hasn't really set foot in Africa, really.
No, they have one in like Northern Africa, like Maghreb Africa.
But it's not.
And maybe one in Kenya or Ghana.
Is this the plot of a weird sci-fi movie where you take it to the molecular level and it's like Ebola slapping the shit out of coronavirus? It's like, no, my territory. Osmosis Jones too, coronavirus. I don't know, man.
Damn, you trying to build up your Hotep shit, your master race shit. Like, yeah, nah, nigga, we good.
But it's in a children's company and shit. Put it inside that.
I'm talking about real life. Let me find out, nigga. I'm gonna be chilling.
I'm just trying to write that script, son. I'm
walking around the city.
You
like,
remember Osmosis Jones?
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Son, we can have Chris Rock and we can make it, you know, Idris Elba.
I'm talking about real life. I'm wishing. Oh. It doesn't affect black people, so I could just walk around the city like Leonardo DiCaprio meme.
Isn't that another movie too?
What?
It was like the sickness didn't affect a certain race and shit. It's probably a TV show. I mean, that'd be great. I'll take it.
I mean, I'll take it.
We wish well for everyone, and And as DJ has alluded to, and I guess I would like to put a bow on this idea, is be afraid. Be afraid and panic.
Nah, don't fucking panic. Don't buy all of the toilet paper. I think the picture will be extremely clear over the course of the next 2.5 months. So it's just a daily thing. Wash your fucking hands. And, yeah, just try to be clean, nigga. I don't know. Like, good luck, nigga. May that vibes be forever in your favor. Probably the news. If you guys stay, if you too scared to go outside, stay inside. But we don't. I think the key is, though, is that this is not really an existential event. It's not. I don't even
picture, like, oh, like. Damn, what if like Mike Pence came and said, this shit mutated, is going to turn into...
This ain't funny. This ain't, yo, I'm going to stop laughing about this shit right now.
Nigga's dying, man.
Obviously, you know, gallows humor. I'm trying to stay positive.
That's good.
I already have exposed my nihilism, so I'm trying to be positive about some shit.
But nihilism, you don't believe in anything. But like, is life important and through the lens of nihilism?
It's lit.
Okay.
It's the Joker shit. It's like, oh, we're here. Might as well start dancing.
Hey, well, you still got to be keen on the coronavirus. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe we just need to level set. Oh, I threw you one. You didn't catch it.
Level set?
Level set.
I'm not too keen on that one. I don't
know what the fuck that means either.
Okay, because I thought that might be a different sort of industry that I don't work in. Mm. But if we can start from the beginning, if we can reset... if we can do a hard reset.
If we can restack our priorities. Or
We can restack our priorities and develop two parallel paths.
Yeah. Do you have a hard stop tonight?
Do I have a hard stop?
Yeah.
I don't have a hard stop. There's a soft stop.
Yeah, soft stop?
There's a soft deadline and a hard stop. I have a hard out.
Oh, okay.
I have a hard out.
Okay.
But I'm flexible with my hard out.
Okay, good.
What we're attempting to do is reference our final piece, which is a little more upbeat, but also a little cynical about the way we interact with probably the Ubers of our world, but also the bigger corporations of our world. Garbage language. Why do corporations speak the way they do? By Molly Young. I have felt this sentiment in this piece for quite some time, especially in the media sphere, right? Mm-hmm. Because... unlike, you can probably attest to this and explain to me this, DJ, people have real jobs. I'm sure they have terminology. I'm sure they have things they say. I'm sure in the firehouses of the world, in the farmers of the world, I'm sure they have complaints about the way people discuss tractor yield or, shot perp reports. Or anything. Perps. Maybe that's one.
Okay, perps.
Dirty wops or whatever.
Is that an epithet?
No, yeah, from cops. I'm trying to come up with some cop corporate speak. Whatever they say. Among jigaboos.
Paddy wagon.
I guess in theory, in the world of police brutality, slurs get into corporate speak. But in the media world, to bring it home, there's a lot of jargon, hollow speak that has really grown to irk me. And this piece just hit a nerve. Right in the back of the head. Like acupuncture. Brought me some peace.
Yeah, man, because we're part of this fucking Warren space, because you understand.
We get another cultural silo that, you know, knowledge workers, we get these inside jokes.
Yeah, you're a coastal elite.
Oh, damn. I hate it. I mean, I always want to start a farm, so maybe I'll do that
to cut back on all the garbage language.
Yeah, man.
Like, just tell me how many fucking goats and chickens you got, all
right? Right, that's it. Well, they're like, you know, goat housing or some bullshit words. The work space, and especially in the tech space, as alluded in this article, the startup space is inundated, and the media spaces have said, with garbage, superfluous, obfuscating language that, and I have a theory about this because I do this at times, is complexity-inducing simply for power in the workplace and manipulation. Mm-hmm. and a status quo of a superficial veneer that makes this whole apparatus work, and which is why I think it works most in the tech and media spaces.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a self-fulfilling language that is used to justify the importance of your work.
Right.
Because it is a code switch of sorts that is only relegated for that area. So therefore, that area obviously has to have some type of significance in the fact that you bring on such words that have such power. And it is endemic everywhere, especially in corporate environments, because of usually coming down from some type of top-down establishment, right?
Right.
From a managerial class that, you know, went to one too many seminars or took one too many classes in the MBA program to where they are trying to establish a new strategy or a new thought process for whatever the book of work is. And it gets to the point where you get diminishing returns on even what you're talking about in the first place.
Right.
To the point where people will have conversations back and forth between one another, and 3/4 of the sentence is using just a bunch of garbage language, as they say.
The meaning's getting lost, man. Yeah. It definitely reminds me, you know, I love my references. We're getting back to references, right, in language. Plato's ideal. What is the thing you're trying to talk to me about? And how separated is the simple word that you're giving me from the idea of what you want?
Yeah. With the growth of all languages, right, I don't even think this is super high-minded to say, but we all kind of go beyond the original, simple explanation of any one thing.
Right, the abstraction. Right,
and this is an issue for garbage language, though, is that you get a diminishing return on even what you were trying to describe in the first place. And it's only doing that to establish the importance of the work itself, when oftentimes the work itself is menial or, in a larger scope, unfucking necessary or doesn't matter, but it's just a means to keep everything inclusive, to keep up the guys that you're working on this food delivery app is a value add.
Value add. It's like, you know, it's like blowing up JPEGs. It's like this shit is you're pixelating shit. You just can't copy it more and more and more.
Yeah.
You're losing the point. What's your least favorite? Because when I think about some of mine that really irk me, that make me mad, and I think, and this is a fire, probably coffee table book, a translation of all these, just a list of these things. Bandwidth. Oh, I hate.
Okay, I was going to say bandwidth.
I hate bandwidth, man. I hate it. It's like, what's wrong with time?
I'm also not a radio wave.
Right. It's like, what bandwidth do you have? Just squiggling. Like,
right now, I'm actually pretty like.
My frequency is high, but what was it? Longitude? What's the other shit?
No, that's the point.
My amplitude is up, but my frequency is happening. I'm a gamma wave. It's like, what the fuck is bandwidth? What happened to time? Do I have the time and energy? Low key, time and energy, is that equal? No, almost. Almost got me. Almost brought me back with that one. But, like, come on. Bandwidth.
Bandwidth.
Most of y'all failed, you know, high school physical science.
Do you like, I appreciate how she went through the historical nature of some of these business-y, jargon-y, garbage languages being added into the space.
Right.
And it wasn't totally clear to me up until now that, when at the advent of new revolutions in business, new things were added. So you had like the post-war era.
Yes.
And there was a lot more actionable wartime language added, you know. And probably the most recent revolution, I guess prior to the social media one, was like the internet revolution or the computer revolution. And that's when shit like reset, fail, win, and one of my also least favorites is can we take this offline?
Oh, speak to me.
So it just goes to show you that, these things were always roll with the times, but nonetheless, they always are not particularly fucking helpful. And
it's just a separation every time they're brought about.
Yeah.
And especially, and I don't want to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
But in terms of the social aspect of how these things are integrated for new people that are on staff, for new, so you start a new team, you're developing in different areas of the company, and everyone is just bombarding each other with, I know more inside words than you. I know more inside words than you. And you're like, what the fuck does this mean? What is it?
Because no matter where you go, whenever you go to a new firm, there's always a ramp up time. And that may have been actually garbage language there. You have to learn the new lingo of that space that you're going to, because they speak a completely different business language. And as was summarized here, it's an encapsulation of part of life's biggest tensions, which is being real and bullshitting. So it's just a circle of fucking bullshitting that may have been firstly imposed on you by management. And then if you are someone trying to, one, look good in the job or maybe go up in management, you start using that same lingo. You start buying into the company credo. And before you know it, you're spouting the same garbage language as what management was throwing down on you. But it's all just as a means to show a bit of facility within the language or within the space. But it's always just a way of kind of bullshitting your way out of things. And the pinnacle of it is the WeWork example, where
it's just a living mission statement just getting life.
Where the SEC filing, like the company manifesto, is around the same length of Moby Dick, which is a famously, you know, long novel, and is just filled with just empty language that doesn't mean anything. Would you like to read that little paragraph? Can you find it?
No, I'm looking for it.
I think it was towards the bottom, if you're at the top.
Bear with us, Molly. I'll give you a shout out. Moby Dick, a long book that we all have read, right?
Sure, exactly. So that's the part of the bullshitting there. And their issue was that, and as I believe as Molly so eloquently put, was that their bullshit to truth ratio was just significantly off. So they their progress crashed and burned comparatively.
I got their self-described description here.
Yeah.
We are a community company, one, committed to maximum global impact. Our mission is to elevate the world's consciousness. Okay. We have built a worldwide platform that supports growth. Mm. What does that mean? Shared experiences and true success. I'm an English major, DJ, right?
Mm.
And I don't get to utilize how much better I am with words than other people.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get a chance to bludgeon my facility with words over other people, I love to use it. And this is such garbage. Specifically because of this, the compound noun adverbing. She talks about that too, which I hate. Everything, it has to be a verb or a noun, or these two-piece supports growth, shared experiences, true success. What is true success as opposed to success? What is a false success? Because that's not a success at all. So why would you? Why would you say that?
You're missing the point, Brandon.
It's all disgusting. And the adverbing, verbing, and shifting of words, it's annoying to me.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna chair this. We're gonna like just words.
Can we table this for a second?
Can we table this? Yeah. Can we just general things that don't make sense? Were you? Did I interrupt you
for that interjection
of the quote?
I asked you to read the quote, so no.
I was rambling a bit. You have a point.
So, do you use garbage language at work?
Don't act
like you're better than us.
I am
okay.
than most people, but I try not to, because we're all talking about navigating BS versus the real, right? Mm-hmm. So, what I found is, and you have to do it first. Present that you're real before Like I'm real. Early. So they're like, oh, fuck, he's real. And that gives you clout over their BS. Because if you all participate in BS at the bottom.
That might be off-putting to the bullshitters, though.
I don't think it is if they understand that you're will be complicit in their bullshit. I'll be like, hey, I'm so real that I'll be real, and I'll let you continue to be full of shit.
I'll level set with you guys.
I will level set with you, right? And sometimes you're just like, hey, listen, just tell me what's going on. In reality, I don't care, but I'll make it look like you care. How real is that? So,
right.
And that presents a good working environment where they know that they don't need to bullshit you. Mm. They just need to tell you what's happening. So if anyone wants to take that approach, feel free. But you can't wait too long or else it just becomes, people think, everyone thinks that everything at work is Machiavellian. They just think, oh, you're trying to manipulate me or some kind of, it's like, it's not that. I do, my least favorite, we talked about bandwidth. I want to go back to another one, is postmortem.
Oh man,
I really hate postmortems.
You do a lot of postmortems.
Do too many postmortems.
So this means, first of all, war language, right?
Right.
After death. That's what fucking postmortem is. It's like, what
so
the fuck?
We just had a great cotton candy company contract. We finished the stupid social media video, which has little kids eating cotton candy. Let's do a postmortem. It's just like,
can we get a postmortem on that cotton candy segment we did for ESPN yesterday? Thanks.
It's great. Let's do a postmortem. It's dead. We murdered it.
Killed it, guys. It's great.
Oh, jeez, that's a big one that irks me. And I wish I could think of more, but because there's so many, they're teeming in the cesspool of this garbage. But
yeah,
I
dabble a bit, but I'm not bad. I think us being black men from a certain social setting and upbringing makes us not immune to bullshitting, but immune to that type of corporate garbage language in predominantly white environments, I think. I think that could be a component of it. That I'm doing a little bit of projection there. But, you know, I'm sure you've come across like, yeah, oh, yeah, no. Brandon's cool, man. You know, he's just like he's a cool guy. Like, he's just a straight shooter.
Yeah,
like, he's just straight up, man. He's a straight up guy.
I really like you. I like your perspective on all this. Like, you don't seem bothered by it.
Yeah, no, you're not a bullshitter. Honestly, people will say stuff like that. Like, yeah, you just don't bullshit things because it's somewhat jarring and refreshing when. You don't go through the garbage language and whatnot. But I think I probably just picked up on some of the just more common ones. I don't do too many outward presentations or big meetings and whatnot anyway nowadays. But I will hit you with, okay, how can we leverage this?
Ooh,
I'm good with leveraging.
Ooh, that's good.
I like leverage.
That's just a flex.
That's a nice word too. Leverage.
It's a good word, and that's it means you're lifting the thing.
I do. I am pro leverage. That's all I'll say.
That gets a pass.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to feel too bad. This is just describing a real life phenomenon, a real social phenomenon that happens. At the end of the day, never be mistaken or surprised about how much bullshitting companies do, because it's just so much. So fucking much. Things come together in shoestring ways or through shoestring methods or with shoestring competence that come out and make it into production or, you know, hit media or whatever the industry is. And we sit here and we take it because we maybe not know the process that it went through, but there's always a lot of bullshit that comes behind it.
And with that being said, never believe in anything. Companies, your politicians.
Damn, I didn't know I was going to lead you into that.
The health, our healthcare system, it's all on a shoestring, a fading yarn-like thread into finding satisfaction with whatever it is in life.
Yeah, I mean, we're all just people. We're all just trying to, you know, make sense of it. Amongst ourselves and with each other.
And I dive back into this one more time because as the results are piling in, my soul is feeling rather conflicted. Should we say it on pod before we head out of here?
Tell me. I don't know. I don't know what's conflicting you.
The latest updates we have. A Joe Biden Virginia win, which we talked about. Vermont Bernie Sanders. The West Coast is still out. Texas is Bernie's leading. Tennessee, Joe Biden is leading, but up in the air. Oklahoma, Joe Biden. North Carolina, Joe Biden. Minnesota, Joe Biden leads. Amy Klobuchar. Massachusetts, up in the air all the way around between Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and a trailing Elizabeth Warren.
In her own state.
In her own state. Come on, Big Lizzie.
It'd be your own constituents.
If they get you, if they hit you, Lizzie, please, here's the time. Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, Maine, and it's too close to call. Colorado for Big Burn. California, nothing. It's too early. Alabama, Biden. Arkansas, Joe Biden is leading as well, with Bernie trailing. We're in a position where it's breaking down the way we thought it would, and I would hope that some of these that are intermittent, we don't know what's going to happen, will go the way that I'd like them to. You guys vote how you want. But we're going to get an interesting pastiche of where our country is, considering it looks like Bernie's going to win the two by far biggest states.
Oh, yeah. I think that was the expectation as well, right?
It's just it's a fun place. It's a fun place to be at a stopgap.
Mm-hmm.
That's one more for y'all.
Okay. We'll check back in on this, I'm sure.
All right. Be good. Y'all stay black.
Wash your fucking hands. Wash your hands.
That's the note. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Goodbye.